Romans 12.
Well, I'll start in Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who has been his counselor? I keep telling all of you over and 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 over again that the first requirement of a disciple is that you abandon yourself. That you take no thought for your life. You don't understand that, because the first thing that happens, if I tell you to take no thought for your life, then every single time that you get into a position in which you are in a state of unrest, you begin to sit down and analyze it. You think that by searching out darkness, you're going to find light. And so you wake up one morning and you're out of sorts, or a stimulus takes place in your life which gives you a negative feeling, and what do? The first thing you do is spend untold time sitting around analyzing it. Well, am I doing this? Well, am I doing that? Or this is what I'm seeing through this. This is what I'm seeing through that. I don't give a fuck what you're seeing. Nor does God. I care about you abandoning your life. You're starting to bore me. Now, Alan can get by with it for a while.
Hurt blunt. I may be bored too.
But do you understand? It doesn't work. You've spent a lifetime confronting stimulus, sitting around analyzing it and saying, well, oh, this is really bothering me today. I need some exhortation. Well, you think exhortation is, well, here's, you've got this structure where you think that if you come and talk to me, or you come and talk to somebody that you think is spiritual, that they're going to give you God's ways. God's ways are ever and always past finding out. Ever and always the solution at the intersection of the slightest temptation to put your eyes on yourself is to turn. Not sit there and dwell on it. That's all I have done for the last 3 weeks. Not just with you guys. Let's have people come and call me or talk to me. Oh, I've got to talk to you, Holy. I don't know his judgments or ways. It's not my business. I only know what they are not. And what they are not is you sitting around analyzing yourself and your condition. Or sitting around analyzing someone else's condition. The ways of God manifested in you are the joyful abandonment of this life into a perfect faith. And every single time you are tempted to put your eyes on yourself, the solution isn't to sit and dig in that muck. The solution is to turn the light on. Your switch to turn the light on is called repentance. Am I communicating? The moment you turn from self into His perfect love, then a mystery takes place. Now you may have to do that 10,000 times a day, because that evil one that's here is a subtle kind of guy. He'll try to sneak up on you in 15,000 different directions, all intended to put your eyes on yourself, all intended to promote the one deception that you're separate from the source of life. Okay, that's number one. Now let's take it and go, let's look in verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Don't you understand, when you're in a state of mind talk, all you are trying to do is to be the counselor to God? Do you believe that the state of being called joyful abandonment is possible? Where you give no thought for yourself, positive or negative. Where it doesn't matter what you see, what matters is that your brother sees. I'm sure some of you feel like I'm kicking you between the big toes, but the moment you begin to mind talk, you become God's attorney. And God hates attorneys. Do you really understand that? You begin to mind talk. The instant you mind talk, you're God's attorney. Now, I would ask you, what has mind talk gotten you to date?
Nothing.
Complete frustration.
Confusion.
Misery. Brightness, death.
Illusion.
Illusion.
Hatred.
Emulation, strife, wickedness, sedition, heresy. Can you see that if you walk in the Spirit, the only way you can walk in the Spirit is to abandon yourself? To abandon yourself means to give absolutely no thought to yourself in any dimension. Not the slightest iota.
I guess that's what I wonder, if that's possible to do that, to not even give any thought.
You know what? Believe it or not, you know, when I first started in this trek, this mind-boggling journey, that's all I did was think about, how does this affect me? You know what? The moment I start now it's the rarest exception. If I start to think about myself, I physically get ill. Because my internal BS detector is in my stomach.
Now that's why. Do you understand? Do you all agree with me? Can you all say amen that if you mind talk, you're trying to be God's attorney?
Amen.
Okay, do you understand that God hates attorneys?
Amen.
Amen.
That's just self-evident.
Well, I hate attorneys. You hate attorneys.
I hate attorneys.
I mean, God must.
Has to be, yeah.
Has to be.
In this way, we have yeah. One way to go.
That's right.
Yeah.
We all agree we hate attorneys.
And Dennis, too.
Do you understand now? All I've said right thus far is just the introduction to what we're going to talk about tonight.
Wow, it's going to be good, I can tell.
Thanks.
That's just the introduction.
It's nothing like a review before the performance, right?
He was really nervous.
Listen. If you mind talk, first of all, you're robbing yourself of joy. Because all mind talk is, all it is a subtle promise, a series of promises.
Mm-hmm.
A series of oaths.
Yep.
And in effect then, you've accomplished that thing that you thought about in your mind already before you've done it. And therefore the joy and the spontaneity of life is taken from life. It's robbed.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that when last Monday when you were talking about the beast with the head that's wounded unto death, and I couldn't articulate it, but it seemed to me it was like it's dead now, but it's wounded. We still think it's alive in the fact that we always project, and you know, it's like the oaths and stuff, and so it has a wound unto death, but it's raised from
it's
the
raised
dead.
It's raised itself from the dead.
Because it's all living in a time that's non-existent. That's where it lives, but in the moment it's dead.
Yeah. It's dead in the moment. It's given life in your imagination.
Mm. God. Oh, this is wild.
You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have
in either direction.
Right. You have the power to resurrect the evil one from the dead. That's really dumb. You resurrect your own enemy from the dead.
Yeah, that's like letting him out of the closet.
That's like this Bloom County going into the anxiety closet.
Yeah, why do it?
But you can't not do it until you see that there's another alternative.
Amen.
Okay, are you tired of playing in the pigsty?
Yeah.
And that's all it is. You've been a hog in the pigsty, and that self-seeking beast will do everything, including eating its own young, to satisfy itself. And that's what you've been all your life, and you don't think there's any other way of doing it. And so you sit around, and if there is an activity that you can physically have right here, then you get, there's angst.
Dang it.
You can't live in revelation, because it's always, you're always in the future or in the past. You're never in the now. Therefore, you can never give yourself to the now. You can't give yourself to the now because you've given all your energies either to the past or to the future by your promises. Mm-hmm. But what you're giving your energies to is, again, you remember in every society of the world, there is a portion of that society that believes in this concept of animism. And animism simply means that they ascribe a spirit being to everything. That there is a spirit behind every tree, or even down to the a rock spirit, I mean, whatever. And there's all kinds of power that take place in that realm. But it requires you to believe in it. So they believe in the spirit world now. And therefore, the power is manifested now. But you believe in the spirit world in the future and in the past. Therefore, they resurrect or they enter into that spiritual realm and give it power and breath by their belief system now. But you do the same damn thing. You are resurrecting that spirit being, which is the chief of demons, from the past and from the future. You are raising him from the dead, both in the past, and you're dwelling on past accomplishments or activities, or in the future, and therefore you can never, ever, and he requires everything. He requires your all. So you promise everything by your oaths and your mind talk, or by your fantasizing over past. And what you do is you have so given yourself as a, you are spirit, and you've given that spirit being you, the real you, over to the demons of the past and the future. And there's never a capacity to live now. Now, I'm not talking about small-time stuff here, folks. Why are you looking at me like that?
Fascinating.
Oh.
Fascinating.
Verse 35. For the force. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and shall be recompensed unto him again. You understand? He's saying, what you try to do is you try to give to God in this mind phenomenon by being his counselor. In other words, for some of you, you have known teeny tiny moments of the joy of abandonment, of spontaneity. But for most of you, you spent your entire life either giving yourself over to the future or giving yourself to the past. There's never been the joy of now. Verse 36, for of him, through him, to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now what we, if you could see through what we've just read, you would see this thing that's repeated throughout the New Testament, that the only place that there is an enemy of God is here. This mind. The carnal mind, Romans 8 says, we should have just read that, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed is it possible for it to be. There is no such thing as a good thought. There is no such thing as a good plan. Even if it's a plan to evangelize the world, it is of the devil. Even if it's done in the name of Jesus, it's of the evil one. You got it?
I'm not sure I understand. There's no such thing as a good thought. I mean, he's just saying there's not good or bad thought, period. There's just thought.
Again, remember, I've done this so often that we forget. The spirit is pure action. The spirit of God is pure action, pure life, pure spontaneity. It never hurries through where it isn't wanted. It never stays where it's like. It's just action. It doesn't think about its action. If there is a thought, it's impossible for there to be a thought without a word, without action. I mean, the three exist simultaneous. Do you understand? In the beginning, you know, again, as I told you, in the first chapter of Genesis, when it says, and God says, let there be light, who in the hell did he say it to? It's like we talked about last night. Can you imagine Adam and Eve committing adultery? Well, who did God say, let there be light to? But it says, and God says. Why does it say that? So that you would know that it's thought an immediate say. And then once it's said, it has to be. If that little Satan's half second is gone, if the delay mechanism and the contemplative aspect of it is gone, then it's instant action to release the Spirit. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Instantly. If you haven't gotten your dick in the way, put it bluntly. Do you understand me? You have not yet tasted the power that's available to you. Whatsoever ye say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Why? Because your mind has been renewed to the standpoint where there is no more contemplative activity. It is simply thought, word, action. There is never prompt. From now on for you, the most evil thing you can do is to make a promise.
Really? What do you mean a promise in your mind or to somebody?
Both. What you do when you make a plan is you make a promise.
Think about how many times you promise.
Nah, that's why we get so bent out of shape.
We go do stuff and then we never do it.
Well, not only that, it's just, you know, sometimes we get so mad at each other because our plans are screwed up.
We have secret promises.
Oh, yeah. Then you have all kinds of stuff that's never stated to the other partner. So you've got unstated expectations. Well, that's really dumb. I'm really mad at you, Rex. You didn't come over here and wake me up this morning. Or what, you know, some dumb thing. Well, I'm... What? But that's what you live... I mean, Harry has spent half his life mad at me because he has had an image of what I should be without him ever telling me what it was.
Not that that would have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered, but...
Did you just ever tell Christ what his image of him was?
Do you understand?
What do you mean by that?
That was no man.
This is what it reminded me of.
Can you consider the possibility that something that Jesus said was true? Is that possible for you to consider it? That it might be true?
Yeah.
Okay, consider this. This might be true. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Now, why hasn't that been manifested in you? Well, you dumb fucks, it had been like giving Ross Perot's kid his gold platinum card. You'd have messed it up so bad, you'd have not known the way of the Father. You'd have not been familiar, because the way of the Father wouldn't have been in your heart. You understand?
Yeah.
But what's set before you, the promise of God is that whatsoever you say shall be done for you by the Father. If you say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, it shall be done for you. That's why I say to you, as I've said to the other groups, that everything that's in the book of Acts shall be duplicated by you and far more.
Amen.
But only when you have gotten rid of the mind of the Gentile.
What you're saying is if there's a half second between the thought, the word, and the action, that's it. If it's not...
Well, forget... All you have to worry about is the thought and the word.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit that does the action. Okay. That's why the Lord's Prayer... I mean, it's the Spirit. The Spirit has to act. That's His function. He can't do anything else but act. The Son doesn't act. The Word didn't act. The Word simply was. He was I Am. The Father didn't act. He simply said, or thought. Thought, Word, Deed. Father, Son, Spirit, duplicated internally in this earth. Think about it.
You know what's getting me? What's getting me is 30. When I read 35, I'm hearing author. It's about authorship, and it's causing me to see that I have always thought I'm the author of the thought.
Yeah, that's sick. Look, you think, okay, tell me something you thought of today.
Well, I'm my neighbor.
You thought to come here?
Well, I just thought about the things that I needed to do between getting off work and being here.
Okay, and you thought,
I
you thought.
Plan.
Okay, Jesus said of that thought that it was impossible for him to have a thought that wasn't the Father's thought. Because he recognized the thought was the Father.
Yeah.
He didn't have to become that. As soon as he saw it, he was that.
So it would disappear instantly, because it's just like everything else.
It's when
it doesn't stand out.
The point, hear me. Could it, nobody ever believes
but
me.
But I still don't understand the thought. Maybe I'm just tangling the words of it. For who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again.
Oh, recompense is what's giving up. It's repaid. Or
who has created something he can give to God?
Who has created something that he is that he can repay God or give God? You know,
yeah.
God owns it all already.
Yeah, he was giving it to you, so how you can give it to him and say, I give this to you. When it was just in the first place.
Well, oh, okay. Got it.
You got
right,
it?
Thanks.
But now, apply that to your thought.
Yeah.
Now, who can say... let me show you. Go to John 5. Verse 19. Verse 17, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verse 19, it says, and then they berated him about something. And then he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from, is a better translation, himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, there are many other places in the Scripture that says that, now go to John 15. John, wait a minute, let me go there first. Yeah, John 15. Yeah, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can't think, you can't, there's nothing that you, it doesn't say without me, you can do nothing that you think is valuable. It says without me, you can do nothing. You're never in a position where you're separate. The only time you feel a need to plan is when you think that you are separate from the source of life. The only time you begin to give thought to yourself is when the evil one has gotten his thingy in the way and you think that you have to do something to be at this position of life. It's impossible for you to think a thought that isn't originated in the Father. But not just originated in, it's impossible for you to think a thought that isn't the Father. You and the Father are one by the efficacy and the work of Jesus Christ.
So the separation, for everybody is a lie.
Everybody. It's only here where you have gone through a lifetime of this mind of the evil one, the Antichrist, that you have constructed a system to give you life. And that system includes mind talk, planning, considering, working it out, all of the things that make you you to this point. I'm telling you, there's a new way. And that new way is Whatsoever you think is God. Whatsoever you hear is God. Whatsoever you say is God. And as that permeates you, the need for you to continually prove your worth in your mind by the planning and considering will disappear.
It's like what you said about thought, word, and deed is God, Son, and Spirit. And if you deny the word, when you suppress that, it's like that's when you're denying Christ.
No, worse. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
I never saw it that way before.
I couldn't hear what you were saying.
You're talking about thoughts, and we're talking about mind talk, which seem like really are there two different kinds of thoughts? Is there a range of thoughts? Is there first thought and then thought about? I mean, is it thought retained turns sour? In the
Again,
original?
Out of your belly or out of your being, the word belly is not the right. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That is why above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. That their prophesying never ever once considers what's coming out. You simply bubble forth. You say always and ever what's there and credit that which is being said to the Father.
Even if there's no one else there? You see where I'm... I mean, you're by yourself.
What the hell? Talk to a parent. Talk to him.
If this is true, how could you be by yourself?
Wait a minute, that's not a flip question. You're by yourself, you have a thought.
What do you do with the thought?
Thinking about the thought is...
Once the moment you think about the thought, you have become the evil steward.
You've taken the thought. And you start manipulating it. Rather than it's just a thought and
it's gone.
Okay, well, I feel like the fish that you...
Oh, I know.
Let's try it. It's a different...
It's like thinking about the blood flowing. You know, you sit around and you think about blood flowing,
well,
and by that time your oxygen's
gone. It's like that which happens in an emergency when there isn't time to think.
God, you remember, there's at least two parts of your mind. In the Hebrew, there are three parts, which is where, you know, it's the super soul. Well, anyway, I don't get all that tonight. Trust me, just for right now, there are at least what we call conscience or conscious, excuse me, and unconscious. There are the consciousness of your mind is that which gives you self-awareness. The unconsciousness of you is what runs your system. It releases hormones. It keeps your heart rate right. It does all of the things that run your body.
Your emotions.
Okay, trust me on this one. At the time of the fall, prior to the fall, Adam and Eve had not two minds, but one. Self-consciousness was impossible. It was possible, but it hadn't taken place yet. There was no consciousness of self. There were not two minds. Okay, when the fall took place, rather than the total cutting off forever of just leaving man totally outside to his own devices, God caused you to have two minds. He caused you to have a conscious mind and an unconscious mind. If, for the very real purpose that if you had to control your unconscious activities, you would be without hope. You could not last 3 seconds. You know, I keep kidding. You know, that's what Christ meant when he said, you know, grow a cubit. Or which of you, by taking thought for his life, can add one cubit? Well, take that to the extreme. Which of you, by taking thought, you think you no matter how many times I've told you, you still think you're in control of your life.
If we were given control, we'd sit around trying to keep our heart.
No, if you were given control, you would die.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You couldn't do it.
Well, you and I at least have experienced that.
Yeah.
You are not in control. Therefore, why worry about this stupid thing called the thought process? There's a better way. It's called spontaneity. Now, believe me, when Jesus Christ became Son of Man, Son of God, he went through the same things. He had both a conscious and an unconscious mind. He wet his pants. He crapped in his pants. He beat up kids. He did all the stuff that every other kid does until he became a child of the law. From the point in time in which he became a child in the law, which they now call a bar mitzvah, until the time he was 30 years old, he lost the difference between conscious and unconscious. Do you trust me in that one?
Yeah.
At the point of his baptism, he was one. Never again to even have this concept of what we are doing. Worrying about whether our conscious mind is our unconscious or...
Well, it's like, you know, just
biology. Now that's what's set before you.
Well, if it was true...
Now, what?
If it's true that it changed at his baptism to one mind...
No, it didn't change. It changed gradually from the time of his... when he was bar mitzvahed till the point he was baptized.
Uh-huh. The point of baptism was already done.
With the point of baptism, it was finished.
Then how could there have been temptations after that?
Because that's what was being tempted. I guarantee you Satan would have beat him like a drum if he would have been tempted before that.
Oh. So he knew he was victorious, or that God was victorious.
Yeah, he saw that there was no separation. Please, this is important stuff. You understand?
God was victorious, but
you
still
may have died. Now what? Now, everything we just talked about is what Paul said in 11, 33, 34, and 35. What we just read. You got that?
Yeah.
I mean, he said it a lot quicker.
Okay. Where are we talking about? Acts?
Romans.
Romans, 11:33. Now he says this incredible thing.
We're back in Romans
36:11.
Romans 12. Because of what he just said, I beseech you. And beseech means he is begging you on his knees. And I'm in the same position. I am begging you to consider what I've just said as a viable possibility. I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, notice the therefore, it's referring directly to what we've just studied. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now hear me. I beseech you by the power of the mercies of God. If it wasn't for the mercy, the hasid, you remember that word? As a result of the covenant, he's obligated to treat you as his own flesh. He's obligated to treat you just as he treated his son. Up to the point of the Mount of Transfiguration. You don't have to go through in the flesh what Christ did from the point of Transfiguration until the point of the cross. But you must go through everything Christ did from his birth to the Transfiguration. That's why you're here. And he's saying, I beseech you, therefore, because of the predicate he's just established, brethren, by the power of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we're going to take that apart. See what he said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. The word present It was a fascinating word. In the Greek, it's peristemai. It means to put at one's total disposable. Disposable, yeah. Put at one's total disposal, to yield without exception. But more important from our standpoint, it's the technical term for presenting the victims and offerings in the Levitical sacrifices. You present your body, a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy is the word hagios. It has no basis in terms of the condition of that which is offered. Under the law, anything that touched the altar was holy. You understand? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter your present condition. The act of presenting yourself makes you holy. The act of presenting you, and holy is where we get the word saint. You become a saint by the act of saying, Father, I am yours. And you're a saint with equal standing to Paul or to John or to anyone else. More importantly, you're a saint with equal standing to Jesus. By the act of saying, Father, I'm yours. Once that has been said, it is irreversible in terms of your activity from that moment forward. The only thing that can take place is a lie of your mind that says you're not holy. You understand me?
Yes.
Holy. Acceptable unto God. Acceptable means, it's a great word, but it means eminently satisfaction. It means the highest satisfaction, eminently satisfactory. The highest, I mean, it's the highest. Remember, well, some of you, when we're studying the offerings in Leviticus, you know, there's the sin offering and the trespass offering and all of the other offerings. The highest offering is that this term is applied to in the Levitical offerings is the burnt offering, which means that it's eminently a sweet savor. It's eminently satisfactory. It's the food of God. The altar is the table of God, as it says in Leviticus. Now, if that is anchored in your mind, then anything else is secondary. I mean, it'll slowly, it's like, you know, it's like a fly bouncing off a stealth bomber. I mean, it's meaningless. But you have to have that anchor first. It doesn't matter what condition you were in right now. It doesn't matter whether you even believe it all or understand it all. That's no longer your business. The act of saying out of desperation, Father, I am yours, makes you holy. Makes you clean under the law. And woe unto anyone who calls that which God has declared clean, unclean. Mm.
It's because at that point you've accepted his covenant and he can't deny himself.
Amen. Now, it gets better. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable is the Greek word logikos, and it means in harmony with the highest reason or logic. Your reasonable
I mean, reasonable is a terrible word. It's like, it's the highest logic or reason, or it's the highest thought process that man can attain by any standards. Your reasonable service. Service is latreia, and it means it's the worship of God according to every rule of the Levitical law. By the act of presenting yourself a living sacrifice, you have satisfied this. Period.
That's the same reason as come, let us reason together?
Yeah, that's where it says...
Same word?
Yeah, no, because one's Greek and one's Hebrew.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same general meaning.
Yeah, it said, come, let us reason together. The highest that reason can accomplish is that your sin is scarlet. Mm.
Yeah.
By the natural mind. But the highest that man desires to accomplish is that you're wholly acceptable unto God.
Mm. Well...
Can you capture that a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, and be not conformed. The word conformed is the critical issue here. It's the Greek word soon schematizo. And it means, it's the same word where we get the word schematic. But it's because it's got the soon in front of it, it means that there can never from now on assume an outward expression that does not come from within. It's a summary command to stop masquerading. Be not conformed is a summary command in the language. Be not conformed to this world. World is the word ion. There's two words for world in the Greek. One is ion and the other is cosmos. Cosmos is the one that's used when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, the word cosmos is where we get the word cosmetic. Or cosmology, but more importantly, it's more important from the standpoint of cosmetic, because it means in the spirit what the world cosmos means is it's the adornment of the bride. What God is saying, God so loved the bride that he gave his son. It's the father giving away the son for the bride. But every other place where the world is used, the word word is used, it's aeon, and it means there's no real translatable deal in English. It's in the German, there's a better word in German. It's Zeitgeist, for those of you who know German. And it means the spirit of the age. It means all thoughts, customs, religious or otherwise, which are part of any generation current at any time in the world, moral or immoral, religious or non-religious. It's the subtle spirit of the age. You understand, there is no thing. To be not conformed to this world means that you are not conformed to any aspect, right or wrong, moral or immoral. There's no part of you that's conformed to this world. You don't give breath to any of it. You don't give importance to any of it. But now comes the biggie. But be ye transformed. Transformed is metamorphomai, which means transfigured. It's used in 3-4 places in the scriptures. To be transfigured is what happened to Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was transfigured, I know this in the spirit, the moment he went through this process. He was the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father. He went through the whole process of the renewing of the mind with regard to seeing first that the mind is he lost in that period between his baptism, between his becoming a child of the law and his baptism, he lost the propensity for self-consciousness. Now that's what you all are about. You lose the duality of the mind. And it is baptism that was affirmed. And what did God, remember that was the, when that took place, it was a momentous event. It was an epiphany. I can talk. It was a place, it was only one of three times when God spoke audibly to Christ. Once was his baptism. Once was the transfiguration, and once was the cross, or just before the cross. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that what he said at the baptism? Now, that process, that Christ could not have said these incredible words. Do you realize when I say to you, take no thought for your life, when he said, take, abandon yourself, take no thought for your life, take no thought even for the clothes you're going to wear, or the things you're going to put on, or the food you're going to eat, or the place you're going to sleep, take no thought for your life. That is the instrument by which the next thing happens. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the word renew is anakinesis. And it means a gradual conforming. And it's a strange word in the Greek. It means a gradual conforming to that which was and is. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Now the renewing of your mind comes only when this thing about taking no thought for yourself comes against your natural propensity to take thought about everything. This is going to cause the Third World War to go on in this place between your ears. I mean, it's going to cause Armageddon. Who could possibly believe that the mystery of life is that you take no thought for life. That when you take no thought for life, that it's the highest reason, it's the highest order, it's the highest thing that you can become. It satisfies every requirement of the Father. And it puts you in a position which no matter whether anyone on the face of the earth else is in that position, when you can look and say and feel and know that you can never, ever, ever, ever be separate from the source of life. When you can, we can be in a state whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. When you can know that you own all things. When you can know that all things exist for your purpose. Not just what we see, unseen worlds, but the integral, I mean the focal point of the battle, because it's the only place where the enemy has any authority, because he's raised himself from the dead, is here. But he has no authority now. He only has power in the past and in the future. Therefore, you resurrect him by your musings in the past and your contemplating the future. Am I communicating? You understand why the renewing of your mind is everything?
Yeah.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the centerpiece of why we are alive. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because the only, now you can understand these things like, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, thoughts, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Now let's go to Matthew 6. Wait a minute, I want to show you something.
I think that first half of 2 about be not conformed to the spirit of the age. It's like stop thinking you should be, stop thinking you are, stop making believe you are.
Just try to be anything you're not.
Yeah.
Just see that that wherever you are at any given moment in time, and no matter what thoughts you have, no matter what things are going on within you, are all exactly as they should be because of His power within you. They're acceptable unto God and fuck the world.
That has nothing to do.
Huh?
And it has nothing to do with this
world. No.
You're remembering some of the wild stuff that's gone on in here just during the course of this whole big trip.
I mean, isn't that kind of something that you came into, an awareness or a knowledge that you came into and seeing that all the stuff that could possibly happen, you know, in a group of people?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I think of some of the shit that's happened, I just go, oh, who just walks in and says, you know, it says, this is of God, you know, because it's bizarre. I mean, look, you know, what's been going on? It's a real test to see it that way.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, Matthew.
6?
6, I think. What? Oh. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, now that should say, thine eye be double, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now for all of you, mammon is a Chaldean word that means something you have confidence in. I guarantee you that your process of thought will change the moment you see you no longer have confidence in it. Then it can no longer be mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I didn't say this. That's what I hate about modern translations. You know what they say there? Get the parallel Bible.
The Joe Mama one?
Yeah, the fat one. Read the Living Bible out of that.
So my counsel is, don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes, for you already have life and a body, and they're far more important than what to eat and wear.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
You see, do you see how modern religion is trivialized?
Yeah, it's maybe pandy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's maybe, that's like it's a gray thought.
Yeah. I mean, you really, at least at this point, I know that if it was legit, it would really piss some people off. You know, the gospel, if the gospel was the earth-shaking news that it's been touted to be by some, it would have pissed a lot of people off, but stuff like that, it's like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good to anybody.
Don't worry about it, dude.
You'll get a heart attack down the road. You know?
Why don't you write a deep Allen
translation of the mind.
No, you know what we found? I can't believe it. My sister is like a 60s child, and we found these, they're called Letters to Street Christians, and it's like totally 60s lingo. It's all the letters of Paul. And it's like, don't get bent out of shape, dude. I mean, it actually says that.
Really?
Hilarious.
You have it?
It's like,
therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on.
Okay.
Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air. Now, God wasn't kidding when he told you to look at the birds. The birds don't have self-consciousness.
Panama
doesn't have any self-conscious. You bad son of a bitch. I mean, he just bites you if he feels like it. He doesn't think about the consequences.
Right while you're trying to feed him.
Yeah.
While he's sitting on you.
He'll just bite you.
Panama be abandoned. Panama's about as abandoned as he can get.
Well,
he is. That's great.
Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, in the vanity of their minds. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, this is gonna come in conflict with a lot of stuff.
That's why you've been speaking.
Yep. Yep.
What's the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How do you, I mean, that's a, okay, you can say that about anything. The kingdom of God and his righteousness is defined clearly in the scriptures. His righteousness, it's finished. That's what it means to seek ye, I mean, to judge you with righteous judgment. Seek ye the righteousness and the kingdom of God. It's finished. That'll come against some people, folks. Biggest one will come against is you. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, do you think Jesus was kidding when it says, if you're his disciple, you shall be hated of all men? If you're his disciple, they shall kill you and think they're doing God this holy service, this latri. That's it, that word. They shall kill you and think they're doing God service, this holy service. They're fulfilling the law by killing you.
Yeah.
You're not hated of God. I mean, you're not hated by the world. Why? Because you haven't been a sign and a wonder. Why? Because you've conformed yourself to the world. Why? Because you're cowards.
Yeah.
Why? Because you don't believe he's resurrected in you.
Yeah.
Hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that Antichrist. Period. They speak of the world heareth them. Now, I don't want to, again, I'm not... I want you to be as much as possible be at peace with all men. But I guarantee you that you're going to be confronted with when you You don't have to worry about making a confrontation. Your presence will be a confrontation. You expect always, you believe all things, you hope all things. You hope and believe that everyone will hear.
Yeah.
You don't dismiss anyone. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. The word prove there is the biggie. Let's go back to Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. That means prove, the word is, I don't care what the word is. The word means that to be put to the test for the purposes of approving. God never puts you to the test for the purposes of failing. God never tempts you, as you understand tempt, with evil. God ever and always only puts you to the test. That's what's so terrible about most of the translations of that word. They use it as tempt. He only puts you to the test always and ever for the purposes of approving. Do you understand? To God, untested holiness is garbage. Untested, presenting yourself a living sacrifice is meaningless. The only reason time and space exist is so that test can occur. Don't be surprised if the test comes. Rejoice in the test. It proves you where you're supposed to be. That you may prove. What is that good? Acceptable? And perfect will of God. What's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Jesus Christ. In you, the hope of glory. Perfect will of God. Perfect is teleos. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. It means brought to the end by a series. It means fully tested, fully proven, fully assayed. Tested gold does nothing but shine. If you had nothing in the Bible but Romans 12, 1 and 2, it'd be enough.
Well, we won't be coming to Bible study ever again, I guess. That's it.
You ready to get laid here?
Well, there you
go. That's not what I meant.
I already laid hands on you.
She's been laying hands on you all day.
You back out so quick.
Anyway, I wanted, for a lot of reasons.
Yay.
We hadn't studied that, I don't think.
Good stuff. Good stuff.